welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
Yeah, as Ben said, we're starting a new series, a mini-series, just on our lead down to Easter. So it's just exciting sort of to hear what God's going to say to us. I'm just going to open in prayer, and then we'll make a start. Father God, thank you that you've already spoken to us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're a speaking God. Father God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning, that we would go out changed, different to how we came in. Lord, will you speak to us in the week coming as well? Thank you, God. Amen. So we're looking at the 1 week where Jesus basically sort of came into Jerusalem just before his death, and then he was crucified and then rose again. And so for those of you who are already thinking that way, we're heading down to Easter. So we're going to do this mini-series through to Easter. We're speaking out of Matthew, and so today we're going to start in Matthew 21, and we're going to read the first 11 verses. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn, or the words are going to come up, so sort of you can read along with me, get the right slide. Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, and I'm going to be reading out the NIV. Obviously, there are different versions of the Bible, but when I preach, I tend to stick with the NIV unless I say otherwise. As they approached Jerusalem, that's Jesus and his disciples, and came to Bethphage, that's my best pronunciation of that place, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, in Galilee." Fantastic. What an entrance. The king comes into Jerusalem. I want to ask you three questions. And I'm going to take a little diversion as well. So, following on from Andy last week, every good preach has 3 points. So, three questions for you to think and ponder on. First of all, I'll just take a minor diversion. And that is that Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, because years before, Zechariah had spoken about this prophetic word, which was about Israel's enemies being destroyed, but also about, you know, Israel not rising up, but sort of coming back into what God had intended for Israel. And a part of that prophetic word was, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So you can see it's pretty much what Matthew records. But there's also another prophecy linked with that, that Isaiah brought. And that says that the Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and will be called sought after, and the city no longer deserted. You see, prophecy is an important thing. It's something that we love in this church, but it's easy to get distracted with it because, you know, you can think, well, Jesus knew about the prophetic word. He knew what had been said. So was he just finding a donkey to fulfill the prophetic word and go down into Jerusalem? Or was it that the prophetic word came before? Well, Peter addressed that in the church that he wrote to, and he says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So God had this plan right from before time for his son to come to earth, but for even the detail of how he came into Jerusalem in this final week, that he would be come down on a donkey. And he then told that to Zechariah and sort of other details to Isaiah. So God tells us what's going on. But actually, the people who are lining the streets, there's no indication from Matthew that they knew who Jesus was, because they say he's a prophet. And yet, you can fulfill prophecy without realizing that you're actually doing it. Because sometimes these prophetic words don't work out as we think they might work out, but they're how God intended them to work out. So it's important that we record prophecy, that when a prophetic word comes, that we weigh it up and we record it and we hold to it. And in fact, we've got a number of words over this church about what God is going to do for us, with us, through us. And at some point, we will work out how to actually send that out to all of you to encourage you, because it comes along to encourage us to show that God has a plan. So it's important that God speaks to us. It's just the grace of God that allows us to do that, to hear what he's got planned. And his word will be outworked. And we don't have to force it. We don't have to do what Abraham tried to do with Sarah and actually generate an offspring. God's word stands eternal and it will come to pass. So the hard thing in some ways for us is just to measure it up. God told us that not one word would return to him void. That's in Isaiah. And actually, that word in and of itself is prophetic because Jesus was the word of God. That's what John tells us. And so Jesus coming to earth was the completion of this week, of, in fact, of history, that it stirred and changed the direction of history and set things in place for how God's kingdom was supposed to be amongst us, that we were supposed to rule. So, treasure prophecy, when it comes, weigh it, hold it, look to God in how he's going to fulfill it. So, and then that gives you the opportunity to say, he wasn't just a prophet, but he was the Messiah. So, three questions. Get back on track, Julian. First question, who is Jesus to you? Now, you might think that's a slightly daft question to be posing, particularly in church, particularly in this church. But bear with me, because I've got a serious point behind it. I've been looking at reading a book recently about the importance of asking questions. I kind of forget to ask questions. I don't ask very good questions, certainly. One of the nice things I noticed sort of over the last couple of weeks is when I've been around Ben and he's asked questions of people, and not questions necessarily, some of them are to further his knowledge, some of them are just to stir up and see what the person is actually wanting to convey, what they're actually thinking. And so there's an importance to asking questions. So who was Jesus? Well, some people say, you know, he was just a good man, that he was a prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. But they confine Jesus to history. And, you know, there's the old adage of, you know, perhaps Jesus was mad. Well, you know, he went and spat in the dirt and scooped up the dirt, the mud, and put it on a person's eyes and then told them to go and wash themselves in a pool. Sounds crazy to me. Sounds like you'd need a lot of spit to generate mud to cover somebody's eyes. It sounds mad. Perhaps he was bad. Perhaps he was just trying to get people away from the Jewish faith. Or perhaps he was who he said he was. Now, there are people out there who will tell you, well, Jesus never told us that he was the Son of God. But you look at it, and that's not what the Pharisees believed. They were ready to stone him. Not only did they kill him, but they were actually at other points ready to stone him because he used terms like Son of Man. And as Ben had said the other week, Son of Man relates to a dream that Daniel had that he records about the coming of the Messiah. And he would use terms like I am, which was a term that was reserved for God. He'd do things that only God could do. He'd forgive sins. He'd change blind people who had been blind from birth to having sight. That's only something that, according to the Jewish law, only God could do. So when you come to ask this question, it's a question that everybody has to ask themselves. But so often we ask it once and we're done with that. And what I'm coming to is actually, what is the outworking of that? When I say who Jesus is to me, is that a one-off statement or is it outworked in my life? And what I'm finding is that I have to continually ask this question of who Jesus was. He certainly wasn't just a prophet to me. You know, he wasn't just a good man, but he's actually my savior. And that means that I needed someone to save me. I recognized that I was separated from God, and it was all down to me because I choose to do things my way rather than choosing to do things God's way. And Jesus came to bridge that gap. Now, perhaps that's the thing that you came out with straight away when I posed that question. Who was Jesus to you? But it's in the outworking of my life. How do I work that out? Because these guys who line the street shouting, Hosanna! And blessed is the man who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah? They had a realization of who Jesus was. They were fulfilling prophecy. But a week later, they were saying, free Barabbas! Crucify this man. And I don't want there to be an imbalance in my life where I'm one moment hot for Jesus and the next cold. I want there to be a consistency to my life where I'm on fire for Jesus, for what he's done in my life. And so some of these questions that I'm asking, they have obvious answers, but actually, work it out in your life. Ask the question again. Second question. What's Jesus's provision for you? Jesus took the disciples and he sent two of them into the village ahead. He knew exactly where that donkey and its colt was. He knew to send the disciples in. And he said, you'll find it immediately, tied up. And then not only that, but he actually said to the disciples to reassure them, if anybody asks you, because, hey, if I was two of those disciples, or one of those disciples who was being sent, I'd have been thinking, we're breaking the law here. We're stealing a donkey. But Jesus reassures them and says, no, look, if anybody challenges you, just say the Lord needs them and he will let you go. And, you know, clearly it wasn't Matthew who actually went into this village. But Jesus had provided. Jesus teaches us to pray on a daily basis, give us our daily bread. But that bread isn't just given for you. And it is, it does you good, it strengthens you. But it's actually there for the overflow. Jesus never gives you just enough to cope with your situation. He gives you more than enough, that you can overcome the situation and you can bless those around you. Following Jesus isn't always easy. I'll bet even after 3 years, these two disciples still had a, okay. They still had to take faith and step into it. Hebrews teaches us, now faith, the faith we need for now, the now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not yet see. You see, God's provision is meant to inspire faith. Not faith in the actual provided thing, but faith in Jesus who gives it to us. That's why, and Andy hinted at it or mentioned it last week, but we place an importance on testimony. Because one of the things testimony does is it declares what Jesus has already done, what he's already provided, and that inspires us to push into what Jesus is going to provide for us. Third question. Where are we on time? Oh, I forgot to start my timer. Never mind. Who are you? Okay? Our revelation of who we are comes from knowing the answers to those first two questions. It comes from knowing who God is and who he has called us to be. Our revelation also comes from knowing what God has equipped us with, what gifts he's given to you, and how you're able to use those. It was fantastic on Wednesday night when we were able to chat at home group, and we spent time just encouraging one another. And again, drawing on Andy's preach sort of last week, who we are is something that is being stirred in me at the moment to see, who am I? Who has God called me to be? You know, how do I glorify God? One of the ways is by being still. And knowing, that was what Andy was teaching us last week about, come and just spend time in God's presence. It's not that doing things is wrong, but if you're doing things at the expense of spending time in God's presence, then you've got an imbalance there. So one of the things that hit me was I know sleep is good for me, yeah? If I don't sleep, I get grumpy. I get messed up in my thinking. Things don't go straight forward. Yeah? And yet, I hadn't realized, but my approach to sleep was, I have to do this, but it's an inconvenience. It's annoying. Because I've got this to do tomorrow, and I've got that to do, and I need to get on with that. Consequence? I wasn't sleeping great. God said to me, you have to thank me for the sleep you're about to have. You have to engage and enjoy what I've given you for the now. That was a revelation to me that actually I need to come into having sleep to enjoy. That I will only rest if I actually be still and know that this is what God is driving for this time. So that's just an example. We also talked about our love for his creation. You know, it's fantastic to be able to get out and enjoy the sunshine. The last couple of days have just been fantastic. It feels like spring is here. It's nice, isn't it? And Francis reminded us about the Westminster Confession of Faith. And one of the, I think it's the first question, says, what is the chief aim of man? We were talking about one aspect of it this morning, about glorifying God. But actually, it's to glorify and enjoy God. We're supposed to enjoy God. That's amazing. That's part of our purpose. That's part of who God has created us to be. It's easy to be conformed by the world. It's easy to think, what's the real harm of pornography if I'm just watching it? What's the real harm of, sort of same-sex relationships? It's easy to think, I'm nothing. I'm meaningless. I'm worthless. It's even easier to come along to church and go, I'm a sinner. I did this wrong again. God, how do you put up with me? I can't do anything. I can't do anything right. I can't do anything. When we look at the Ukraine situation, it brings all sorts of emotions to me of, one, an anger about what's going on, about how our friends in Ukraine who are leading churches out there are struggling, about how dare Putin do what he's doing. And I get it, there's two sides to the story, and it is a very complex situation. But what can I do? I'm just one person. But actually, I can do things. Prayer, Ben mentioned about our prayer meetings. It's key, it's foundational. Because when we pray what's on our heart. But we pray what's on God's heart. We hear God's heart. And it moves things. Paul teaches us about the armor of God. And that we live in the spiritual. When we accept Jesus for who he is, we move out of being conformed and being held by the world and being held by our sin into a freedom in Christ. That suddenly new things open up. That's why we say we're reborn, because we come into this spiritual dimension and suddenly we can start making an impact. And that's the thing. We are able to make an impact. We can make an impact by giving money into charities that are doing things into the Ukraine. Christ Central churches are sending money to the church leaders out in Ukraine to help them. The same for churches in Russia. There are things we can do. Paul encourages us by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just want to come back to that scripture in Isaiah, in Isaiah 62. If you get a chance, read through it. It's amazing. But when we accept Jesus, when we start following him and taking our lead from him, we're suddenly told that we are a holy people. That means we're set apart. We're in the world, but we aren't of the world. We aren't conformed to how the world is. We're in it and speaking into it, but we're a holy people. We're set apart. We're redeemed. Jesus came and recovered us. He bought us at a great price. We're sought after. We've been pursued by God. But I believe it goes further than that. We're going to be called sought after because the world out there realizes we have something they don't. And they're going to come looking for the wisdom that God outworks through his church, through you. We are the city. Look around. You might just think this is a large family. Yeah, and it is family. We are family. But we're a city. Maybe just a hamlet at the moment. But can you see what God is calling? Can you see the city? I want to encourage you to spend time this week just seeking God, asking yourself those questions. Who is Jesus to you? What has Jesus provided for you? What gifts do you have? And if you don't know who you are, who God has made you to be, spend some time asking. Jesus taught us, ask and you will receive. So ask Jesus, what's your purpose for me? Who have you called me to be? And don't be afraid of talking with those around you, of asking them. It's all about learning to hear his Holy Spirit about what he has for you and who you are. I just want to say, you're an amazing people. I love being part of this church. I love coming. I love, even when on a Wednesday at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, home group, right, okay. But no, I come out of it going, wow, wasn't that amazing? When I hear you sharing, when I see this church growing, not just in numbers, it's growing in maturity. When I see how generous you are, when I see how you love serving one another, serving those out there as well that we come across. When I see how strongly you hold to the truth, not the truth that the world knows, but the truth that God teaches us. When I see how you value spending time in God's presence. When I see the way that you share Christ with one another. When I see how gifted you all are. How those talents can be used to multiply and build up us. I just want to finish by praying for the youth. I just felt a stirring to pray for them. But I want us to pray. So if there is a young person around you, will you just lay hands on them? And I'm then going to lead us in prayer. I'm going to lead us in prayer. The reason for this is I believe that the young people are at that stage where they're still working out what God has called them to be. And they are a critical part of this church here and now. They aren't the church of the future, although they are the church of the future, but they are critical here and now. In fact, one of the prophetic words we have is that God will do things through the youth and bring in families. So let's just pray for them now. Father God, thank you for what you've given us. Lord, we thank you that we have, by our size, a huge youth group. Lord, we want to pray your blessing on them. Lord, will you bless them? When they go away together, Lord, will you bless them? Will you be in amongst them? Lord, will you encourage them? Lord, will you strengthen them as you teach them who you are and who you've called them to be? Lord, we pray that they would know you, that they would be people who challenge us, who bring your word through them to your church here, Lord. Lord, may we be receivers of what you've put in them. Lord, may you mature it and grow it. Thank you, God. And one final thing, I'll speak principally to the camera, but if you don't know who Jesus is, or you've got questions, will you contact us? Because we'd love to tell you who Jesus is to us and what he's done for us, what he's given us, and we'd love to speak with you. Have a great week. Be blessed. Thank you. And there will be great things coming over the next few weeks as we hear again what Jesus did for us.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.